All right, Jeremiah chapter 4, let's read verses 5 through 9. All right, I'm going to preach tonight on our present situation. I can't think of a better title for it. Might be one, I might change it later, but Jeremiah is the book to read if you want to get some insight into where we're at right now. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste, without an inhabitant. For this gird you on with sackcloth. Lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then in chapter 5, I want to read verses 30 and 31. They're pretty familiar, but to me anyway. But Jeremiah 5, verse 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? All right. Now you can just look in Jeremiah about anywhere you want to flip to, and you're going to see the same thing being said. God calls on Israel to repent, but he says, but then he acknowledges they're not going to. And then he just pronounces woe, 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 woe upon them. And tells them what we just read there. The destroyer is on his way. You better just hide. That's what it's saying. You better just get you somewhere and hide. Because it's coming. Sure as you're living. It's not going to be, there's nothing else to do. Now, this is just a truth bomb tonight. And it's not pleasant. It's not positive. It's not anything that's going to be amazing. It's just the flat out truth. And if you want to call me a pessimist, you can call me a pessimist. If you want to call me somebody that just tries to leave people with no hope, well, go ahead, but you're wrong. I'm offering the only hope there is. I'm just trying to keep people from being, from living in an illusion about this situation that we're in. I mean, I'm talking about the situation that we're in our country. And it's not just our country, it's the whole world. This is a worldwide thing. This same stuff's going on around the world. The anarchy, the foolishness, the fear of this disease, so-called, and everything else. All the political nonsense and wickedness that we're seeing. And all the division and the confusion and all of that. It's fearful times that we're living in. It's the times that Jesus talked about, where men's hearts will be failing them for fear of the things coming to pass on the earth, and distress of nations with perplexity. These are the days. A snare that'll come on all the earth. Yes, sir. We're living in those days. But we got to face the truth about the situation we're in right now. Here's the situation. I'm telling you, we're facing the imminent judgment of God. If I understand anything at all about the Word of God, that is right. We're facing God's judgment. You can't tell me. I mean, you're living in a fantasy. If you think this is that America, America, God shed His grace on thee. No, that happened in the past. Yeah. Jeremiah starts out in the first chapter 2 talking about, I remember the love of thine espousals and how you came after me in the wilderness. And he talks about the old days. And how they made a covenant and how they promised and all of that. But that don't cover it when you're in the midst of this iniquity. Now they're committing whoredom under every tree and with stones and rocks and everything. And God's had it. with them. He's called, and he sent priests, and he sent prophets to them daily. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn. And so it's got to the point now where it's beyond that point of no return. The die is set, and nothing's going to change what's about to happen. Now, that's what I believe. Now, you want to listen to the Pentecostals and the Charismatics and Kenneth Copelands of this world as they tell you, and a lot of the Baptists believe the same thing. Oh, we're going to have a great revival. It's just coming. Everything's going to bring a great revival. And they don't even know what a revival is. They wouldn't recognize it if it did happen. A revival would turn back to God and righteousness and holiness. And that ain't nowhere about to happen in this country or in this world. I'm just saying nothing's going to change what's about to happen. God's going to judge this country and this world. The situation in our country is way past the point of no return. In every respect, every aspect of it, financially, there's no way possible for us to ever get out of the financial mess that we're in as a country. The debt is beyond. I mean, the numbers don't change, and numbers don't lie, and it's impossible. We're done. We're sunk. We're ruined. Mm-hmm. We're more than bankrupt. Mm-hmm. There's no way to fix it. You can take everything that we got in the country and sell it, and we couldn't pay the debt. Mm-hmm. Take it away from everybody, and we couldn't even pay it. So we're done. The situation is bad. There's not going to be a great revival that's going to change the outcome of all this. Now, I just don't believe it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why tonight, that I don't believe it's going to happen. It's very possible that Jesus will come for his bride before the full judgment of God falls upon this country. But we don't know that for sure. I've been preaching for years and years that we need to be getting ready for captivity, because either captivity's coming or Jesus is coming, and we don't know which one's going to come first.
Yep. That's right.
And I ain't going to pretend to tell you I know which one's going to come first. So I think we ought to prepare for both. I think you ought to prepare for both. You ought to prepare your heart, your mind, your family, your life. You ought to be preparing for both, for Jesus to come or for captivity to come. Now, this whole situation is the result of spiritual wickedness. It's come about because of the weakness of the pulpits and the hirelings that occupy them. That is the root of why we're in this situation that we're in. It absolutely is. You can bring it right back to here in the churches. It's the pulpits. It's the hirelings that are in them. It's the wolves that have invaded the churches, and nobody has put up a fight or stopped them. They've taken over. It's come to this because of the divorce of Christianity from righteousness. Being a Christian has nothing to do with righteousness anymore. Christianity is more associated with sin than it is with righteousness now. Yep. And that's the truth. Yep. Baptists, everybody. There's no connection. It's disconnected from being a Christian living righteous. You can be a drunk. You can be everything in the world. I'm trying to quit using some words because they're so strong and offensive, but maybe I shouldn't. You can be anything. You can be immoral. Still be a Christian. You can do any kind of sin. Still be a Christian. And nobody's got a right to judge you. So Christianity is more associated with sin, married to sin, than it is with righteousness. And that's why we're in this mess. Because true Christianity is the very opposite of that.
Yes, sir.
God's people are a holy people.
Yes,
and they're come out from among them and separate. And they live different. They think different. Their views different. Everything. They're a holy nation. A royal priesthood. But not anymore. The world's concept and everybody's concept and the concept of most people sitting in the pew is not that at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. Those who try to live, believe you ought to live a holy life, they're called the heretics and the Pharisees and that nobody wants anything to do with them. They're the ones that politicians and worldly powers rush into the vacuum when the people of God lay down their swords, and that's why we're in this situation. The pulpits shut up, and the people of God have shut up. They've quit reading the Bible, they've quit learning the Bible, they've quit teaching the Bible, they've quit believing the Bible, they've thrown it out. They use other books called a NIV and a ESV and all them that are not Bibles.
That's right, amen.
So there is no resistance. There's a vacuum for the moral compass, the moral influence, and the world just rushes in and takes it over. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. Absolutely. The only hope there is, or would be, for God's is for God's people to turn back to God and righteousness and humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. But that is absolutely not going to happen. You hear me? It's not going to happen. People are not going to do it. The churches in this country are not going to do it. Even the people that I know, who I believe are the people of God, are not going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They made up their mind. They're going to live the way they've decided to live. They're going to believe what they've decided to believe. And they ain't going to change nothing. And they ain't going to quit doing nothing that they're doing. And God's going to accept them just like they are. And that's it. So there ain't going to be no humbling themselves. There ain't going to be no turning from wicked ways. There ain't going to be none of that. So there ain't going to be no revival. And God's not going to hear from heaven because you ain't calling on Him. You ain't doing what He said.
That's right.
And He's not going to heal our land. So judgment is what's coming, not revival. That's the only hope that there possibly is or could be, but it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. Don't wait on it. Don't hope for it. It's not going to happen. Everything's too far gone. And there's not enough salt left to accomplish what it would take for that to happen. There is just not enough. The salt has lost its savor and it's good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men. And that's what's going to happen. The salt has lost its savor. And there's not enough of it. None of there's very few salty Christians.
It's true.
Salty? No, they're not. They don't live holy. They live like the world. Too many people who claim to be Christians and too many preachers who are misguided in their zeal are looking for a way to turn this all around and make America great again. There needs to be a call to reality and the truth about where we are in the timeline of God's judgment. You know, all this patriotism and everything, and I know that sets me out from most of everybody else, because they have their 4th of July and their flag waving and all of that, and they worship America, which is a lost cause and a worldly idea, and it's a thing that of the past.
Yes, sir, that's right.
You're living in Sodom. Yep. Yep. Not God bless America. You're going to have to change it to Sodom pretty soon. You're going to sing God bless Sodom, land that I love. No. It offends people if you don't support their patriotism. And I'd just like for you to list for me the things that we ought to be patriotic about in this country that we're living in. You think you're free? You think that we've got a land that is blessed of God here now? We've got a land that's under the judgment of God already. And when the judgment of God comes, it don't come just bam. He just starts. God is so patient and He is so long-suffering that He starts easy and He just keeps turning up the volume. And if you won't listen, He just keeps dropping the hammer harder and harder. And that's where we're at. You're fixing to feel the heavy hand of God's judgment. This country is. Now, to imagine that people are going to fight all this anarchy or the iron fist of a socialist government, or that they'll fight to preserve our freedoms. I'm telling you, to think that people are going to fight is downright foolishness. Ain't nobody going to fight. They ain't going to do it. If you won't fight when they're murdering babies and butchering them and selling their body parts and nobody does nothing and nobody can do nothing, you ain't going to fight when they do anything else.
Exactly right.
Ain't nobody going to fight. Ain't nobody to fight.
No.
Ain't nobody got enough in them. I mean to tell you, there is nothing to suggest that this is going to happen. But overwhelming evidence that it's not going to happen. And I'm talking about people rising up and fighting. Everybody thinks that. You know, well, they'll go so far. And I'm telling you, they're going to find out. Everybody's armed. And oh, they'll get them. Ain't none to do it. Ain't nobody going to fight nothing. Ain't nobody going to resist nothing. Ain't nobody to do it. Ain't nobody willing to do it. They can't even work together to help one another's churches. I mean, there's too much division even among those who claim to be Bible believers. Can't even help one another in church. You think you're going to band together to resist the government that's going to kill you? Going to come take your kids away, bust up your family, take all your stuff? You're going to fight when you won't even stand together with other Christians and try to help? They'll stand by and watch a church sink into the ground and never give a hoot. And mock and laugh at them when it happens. And then tell me they're going to band together. Christians are going to band together to resist this mess. Nah. I'm getting there. They can't even work together. They're so separated from one another that they'll stand by and watch one another sink without offering a hand to help.
Yep.
Churches used to help one another because churches loved the work of God. And they loved God and they loved other Christians. And they didn't separate off into their little cliques and clans and groups and hope everybody else crashes and burns so we can be the only one left.
Yeah.
There's so much prejudice among those who claim to be conservative, Bible-believing Christians that they'll not have anything to do with a church or a preacher or an individual Christian who maintains any semblance of holiness, any separation from the world, his dress, or his zeal for righteousness. Just looky here. I mean, we've been here 5 years. Now, how many people in this town have come here? And I grew up here, and I know people here, and people know me, and that's why they won't come. Because they know what I believe. They listen on the radio. And they'll get on the website and listen. And they know what. But they won't. And some of them will say, boy, I'll preach on. I agree with you. But they ain't going to support us.
Nope.
No. And so, I am not foolish enough to think that they're going to bring their gun and stand with me to protect me when the government comes out. They ain't going to do it. They'll turn me in. They'll call the law on me. So who are you depending on to fight? They've turned away their ears from hearing the truth and have been turned to fables. They like storytelling and entertainment and emotional highs, and that's what they consider spiritual church services. They all get together and they just tell stories and cry and tell stories and laugh and dance around all over the platform and beat their drums and bang their guitars. And talk about heaven and how wonderful it is to be saved. And then go home and say, boy, we had a wonderful service. Yes, sir. Boy, I'm glad I go to this wonderful church. We got the best church in the whole country. Yes, sir. Never a word about the gospel. Never a word about anything that's the true gospel or the true religion, if you want to call it that. It's just a club where you have fun. You've come away feeling good. And that's what it's about. And them people ain't going to fight for nothing. That's what was going on in Israel when Jeremiah was preaching. They were doing the same stuff. Man, they had their worship services, but they were all contemporary. They did the same stuff. They were filled with immorality. They were murdering their babies. They were doing all the same stuff that's happening right now. And they wouldn't stop it. And that's why God said, just tell them they better go somewhere and hide. Because the hammer's fixing to fall. And he told them over and over, I'm bringing up armies from the north, and they're going to come in. A great nation from the north is going to come in, and they're just going to level everything to the ground. And that's exactly what they did, too. And they hated Jeremiah because he wouldn't tell them it's going to be wonderful. I mean, nobody's ever going to take over our great country. Israel is the chosen of God. Israel is the blessed of God. That's what they wanted him to tell them, and he wouldn't tell them that. They were Israel. They were the children of Abraham. They did have the temple. They did have the promises of God. But they had forgotten God. He said, you committed two evils. You've forgotten me, the fountain of living waters, and you've hewed you out cisterns that can't hold water. Yeah. So I'm done with you. I'm going to punish you. But every time God said that, he said, I'll not bring a complete end. Mm-hmm. Every time I've read through that today, and every time he said that. Oh. There's so few people that are even faithful to attend church anymore. And if church attendance is so much of a sacrifice for them, they're surely not going to risk their comfort and their luxury and their safety and their possessions fighting for anything. They ain't going to fight for nothing. How long has it been since you saw somebody get saved and start coming to church? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They just don't do it anymore, do they?
No.
If you can get them here on Sunday, 2 or 3 Sundays a month, well, that's about the best you're going to get out of them. Even that. There's some people who won't come every 2 or 3 months.
That's true.
They still want to be a Christian. But they ain't going to support the church. And they're not going to be there. And they're not going to be a part. And you think they're going to stand with anybody when it comes to a life and death showdown and blood? No. They're not going to do it. I'm just telling you tonight, give up on that dream that there's going to be this army of righteous people raised up somewhere to resist all of this. It ain't going to happen. It's coming. They're on their way. I mean, the destroyer is on the way. It's just serious business. I just hate to see everybody just living in la-la land, living in this imaginary dream land, fantasy land, Disneyland-like atmosphere where everything's just wonderful and it's going to work out and everything's going to be okay. You ain't going to come to this church and hear that nonsense. Turn on your radio to 128 XM. You can listen to Joey. What's his name?
Joel Osteen.
He'll tell you that. Everything's going to be fine. It'll be fine. God's got this. He's your protector. He's your defender. He's your blesser. He's always there. He's there for you. He's your genie in the bottle. All you got to do is just knock 3 times and he'll come. Just like that. Answer whatever you want. Yes, sir. Prophets prophesy falsely and the people love to have it so.
That's right.
They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. How could I stand here tonight with a clear conscience and with the Bible open before me reading in Jeremiah and tell you that it's going to be okay? Peace, peace. It'll all work out. Our president, we've got a great president. He's a Christian. I mean, he loves God. You see him holding that Bible up the other day? He's got it. He'll take care of us. He ain't doing nothing.
No.
All this junk, they're burning down the country and murdering cops and wanting to get rid of the cops.
Yeah.
And he ain't done nothing. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court, you know, the gay thing they did yesterday or day before.
Yep.
No, we ain't gaining no ground.
No.
We're not even holding the ground we got.
No.
We're losing it by the section every day. So get up this fantasy that somewhere we're going to stop. Somewhere we're going to fight this thing. Somebody's going to rise up and fight. You're going to push people so far. Nah, not this time. You can push them plumb down in the water and drown them, and they ain't nobody going to stop them. Even people who attend good churches and hear good sound preaching are so dull of hearing and rebellious against righteousness that we can't even hold the ground we still have, and that's a fact.
Yes, sir.
We're not even holding the ground we still have. People still are falling away, quitting. Getting out. People that are staying are still getting more liberal in their everything, in their dress, in their entertainment, in their music, in everything in their life. They're just getting more and more of the world all the time. They're looking more and more like the world. partaking more and more of the world all the time. They're loving the world more and more all the time, and God less and less. Ain't no hope there. What God says don't matter. It's what you want. It's what you think. It's what you like. That's what you're going to do. You ain't going to bow to God for nothing. You're going to do what you want. Doesn't matter what the Word of God says. Doesn't matter what God's people have always taught and believed and thought. You're going to do what you want. Because you're looking at the world. And you like their sparkles. And you like their lights. And you like what they say. And so you're going for it. We're not even keeping the ground with God. And then here with judgment knocking on the door. I mean with the clouds so dark overhead that you can't hardly even see. And people still doing that. No fear of God before their eyes whatsoever. No dread, no worry, no concern about what's going to happen. No need for God at all because it's going to be okay. You're looking in the wrong place. No one agrees with what the Bible says about sin. Or about holy living anymore. So every man just does what's right in his own eyes. No matter what any preacher says or no matter what the Bible says, it don't make no difference. They're going to do what they think. That goes for Bible-believing churches. What about us right here? How many right in here? Do what you want. Anyway. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. You can just always excuse it somewhere. That's just what he believes. That's just what some people think. That's what... Wonder how many here is like that. Wonder, you know, if we can't even count on you here to believe what the Bible says. When you read it and there it is, that's what it says. You can't interpret it any other way. That's what it says. And you say, nah. What are we going to do when, I mean, if that's the footman, when the horsemen come, what are we going to do with you? How are we going to depend on you? What are we going to do? How are we going to get along with you? How are we going to be able to include you? When you are a Judas. That's what a Judas is. He stood with them. When they came to get Jesus, the Bible says he stood with them. With the haters of God. With the murderers of Christ. He stood with them. Like you do. When you despise the commandment of the Lord and you go ahead and do what you want to anyway. And with everybody saying, no, what? When you go contrary to the opinions of people who are living right, you better go look in the mirror and say, what in the world? Am I right? Are you right? Everybody else wrong? Now, likewise, it's foolishness to think that we can turn this situation around by voting.
Yes.
I just can't believe what I hear sometimes. For the same reasons as we've already stated right here. How do you think we're going to turn it around voting when we can't even hold the ground in the church? Who's going to vote for the right people? I mean, if you're in the church and you're being taught the Bible and you still go vote for the baby-killing, sodomite-loving infidels, who are you looking to? You can't vote in morals.
No, sir. Never.
There are far too many, if too few people who believe in righteousness anymore. Far too few. Even those who sit in the pews of Baptist churches all over this country have the same beliefs and philosophies as the baby-killing, sodomite-loving, insane-thinking world around us does.
Yep.
You hear me? That's right.
Yes, sir.
You go to these Southern Baptist churches, you can go to independent Baptist churches now. And they got the same people sitting in the pews. The women especially. But also the young people. They've got the same philosophy as the world.
That's exactly right.
You say something about Halloween, they'll crucify you. I mean, any kind. Now you can't speak against witches or witchcraft in church because it's offensive to the people sitting in church. And you think they're going to stand against the wickedness in high places?
No.
No, who are they going to stand with? Them. So what are the people of God going to do? What are the real people of God going to do? You better hide. Just like what the book said just right here. So that's only going to be the only option. Who's going to be on your side? It ain't going to be them worldly thinking people that sit in church pews and follow the world and do it. And every church is like that. Quit guarding the church doors years ago. Old Brother Rice was big on that, guarding the door of the church.
Yes, sir.
Been reading 1 St. Corinthians, you ought to. Yeah. Started reading Galatians. Oh, same deal. Got a bunch of things that people in the church should not have been there. Done taught and corrupted and leavened the whole deal. Well, and they'll stand with them just like Judas stood with the crowd that crucified Jesus when it comes to voting or fighting, either one. They ain't on our side. Who's on our side? Almost nobody. Very few. Very few. Now, so let me ask you this. Where is this army going to come from that's going to save us from this hour, from my anarchy and this iron fist of an oppressive government? I'm going to take my guns out of my cold, dead hands. Oh, we'll see about that. They'll just take them right out of your hand. And your cold, dead hand if they have to. But I ain't going to be too many cold, dead hands. They'll just... There you go. They ain't got enough backbone to stand for what's right in the church. They ain't got enough backbone to go to church. They ain't got enough moral fortitude to even go to church. They ain't going to stand for nothing.
That's right.
The only reason that this country is here is because of the influence of righteous people in back in that day. The influence of Bible believing people had much more to do with that than this modern bunch of uneducated fools think it did. But we ain't got them now. We don't have that foundation, that strength of numbers of people of moral fortitude because of the Bible. We don't have them. They're not even in the Bible-believing, most conservative churches. They're not even there. They will not stand against sodomy. They will until it's one of their kids. Then all of a sudden they get new light on the matter and they understand about how you got to love and how important love is, so they can't stand against that sin anymore. Even in these best churches. All right, there is no army. And there's nowhere to get one. I told you. I warned you at the beginning of this. This ain't no encouraging message here tonight. It's just a rude awakening to the truth of the situation that we're in right now. Ain't no army, and ain't nowhere to get one. Ain't nobody going to help us. You hear me? Quit looking. Trump ain't going to help us. He's most likely with them. Looks to me like it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, anyway. All there are people who run their mouths and talk and talk and talk. That's all there is. Politicians, radio talkers, TV talkers, news commentator talkers, and independent talkers that get on YouTube and do all of that. That's all you got. You got Alex Jones, Rush Limbaugh. I thought he's going to die. He probably is pretty soon. But you got all these others, and a lot of them women. Talk, 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 talk. Everybody's talking all the time. I don't see no army. Let me tell you something. Talk's cheap. Anybody can talk, and it don't cost nothing. You can blow and puff like the big bad wolf, but you ain't going to blow nobody's house down. That's the way it works. You want to know who you better really watch? Is the one that don't say much. Ones that blow and talk, they ain't going to do nothing.
No.
You know, Brother Wes, he's over in Moldova now, but he told me he worked in the prison down in Texas, and he was in charge of moving people around and taking care of situations where if they was having trouble, you know, he told me, he said, I can take a guy that's the head honcho in one section, I can make him the rabbit somewhere else. He said, that's what I do. But he told me, he said, here's how it is. He said, we got the whites and the blacks and the Hispanics in the prison. And he said, the whites, he said, they could take over. But they can't get along with one another, and they won't cooperate with one another. He said, the blacks, they're all brothers. So they're all stuck together. And they stick with each other. And they'll take up for one another. But he said, all they do is just talk. He said, they'll just blow and put on this big show of words, what they're going to do and what they... And he said, then they don't do nothing. It's all talk. But he said, the Hispanics said, they'll just slip up behind you and stick a knife in your back and never say a word. You won't even know it's coming. Now that's how he described how it is in the prison. Of course, there ain't no races, you know, anymore. There's only one race, and that's the human race. There's only one gender, you know, and that's just neutral. Or there's an innumerable, infinite number of genders. You know, everything's the same nowadays. All the standards are erased and removed. And you gotta preach. I heard a preacher say the other day, there's only one race. That's a human race. Well, that excuses his interracial daughter or whoever it was that married in other races. That's what that's about right there. You hear me? He knows better than that. What is he, blind? You can see a black person, a white person, a red person, a yellow person, and it's not racism to see the difference in the colors.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Racists are the people who make big deals out of all the differences.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes,
that's right.
Racists are black people who hate white people.
Yes.
Racists are white people who hate black people because they're black.
Yeah. That's right.
I guess the Indians are just staying out of this deal. Yeah, and if anybody ever got treated rough, they did.
Yes, sir. They did.
It's always been a world of injustice.
Yes.
But I ain't never owned a slave. I've lived with black people. I've worked with black people. I've been around them. I went to school with them. And I ain't never had no problem.
Nope.
Except with bad ones. But I've had as many problems with bad white ones as I have with bad black ones.
Yes,
it's the person that lives in there. It ain't the color of their skin.
Exactly.
We've listened so long to these talkers that we've become numb to anything else that might be done except talk about it. Talk about it some more. Rehearse it one more time. I mean, everybody... Just everybody's come to the point that talking is all they're going to do. And ain't nothing else to do. You talk about it. You tell them what you think. You spell it out there good for them. That's it. Talk's cheap. Anybody can talk. Doesn't cost anything. And people somehow feel empowered when they talk. When they are proud or smart or as if they've done some kind of good by just running their mouth and pointing out again and again the same evils and foolishness of the liberals. I can't stand to watch Fox News and these other things where they get a commentator on it. He may spell it out just plain as day. Some of them do. Some got it down and they tell you what's going on and what's really happening and they tell it the truth. Where does it go? What does it change?
Nothing.
And then they'll do it over again, say the same thing again. And then tomorrow you'll hear it again. You'll hear some other thing. But nothing ever changes. We have elections and they take the Senate and they take the House and they get the White House and then everything just continues just like it always did.
Yep.
And then the Democrats will get it next time and they've got it. And everything just goes on just like it was. We keep putting baby killers and sodomite lovers on the Supreme Court.
Yep.
And fighting to get them on there because it was a Republican that appointed them.
Yes.
What kind of fools are we? And why do we keep hoping in changing the system or voting the right way and fixing all of this? It ain't going to happen.
Nope.
And we're going down the tubes quick. And it's the judgment of God. It's God that sets up kings and it's God that puts them down. Now, who do you know? Let me ask you, who do you know in this town or in any other town that you really believe would fight when it came down to it? Now, be honest. I thought about that the other day. I just started going through my mind with people I know. None of them. Let me point out a few things to you and I'll try to hurry here. But Where do you know about any kind of organization of any kind of resistance to this anarchy? Huh? If the people in Elsinore really thought that they were going to come here and start burning the town down, and they cared about it, the good people of the town, the upstanding people of the town, would organize. And they'd prepare.
Yep.
They'd arm themselves. And they'd be ready to protect their property, their families, and everything. Is there any town doing that? Anywhere? You ever heard of any town doing that anywhere? Yeah. They ain't doing it. Because they ain't going to fight. Ain't no need to organize if you ain't going to fight. It's not going to happen. That's my point. It ain't coming to that. If there are people who are really willing to fight, they'd be organizing and preparing. And what's going on is that everybody's buying guns. I read that in April, May, I think it was, that they sold, the gun sales were double what they were last year. And everybody's buying a gun for themselves. They ain't buying a gun to protect anybody but themselves, they think.
Yep.
Well, that ain't the way the Revolutionary War come about or was won. There'll be, you know, this will be completely futile against highly organized and heavily armed enemy who go about to destroy the enemies of their state methodically. Ain't gonna do everybody ain't good that they own a gun, but they won't organize and trust and have a consensus with other people. You can't stand alone. They know that. They've been preparing for this for a long time. Oh my, yes. The only thing close to what I'm talking about is these biker clubs, and they'll go to a town that's being threatened, and they'll just park on their motorcycles and just scare the anarchists off with their intimidating appearance, their long beards and their leather jackets and their rum, rum, rum. But I just wonder if them jokers would fight. I don't think so. I don't think they would. That's what I think. They're bluffing. That's the best thing anybody can do. I mean, that's the best we can do. Bluff. And that's the closest we got right there. Bunch of bikers bluffing. Big old fat beer bellies. Hey, you're not very tough if you don't work. Now, you just ain't very tough. That's right. And that's a fact. You don't get tough by sitting around drinking your booze and smoking your weed and laying around like a big lazy hog. That don't make you tough. Well, we've had people at the church before. That'd really be offensive, wouldn't it? Let me find my place again here. No one will fight because there's no one willing or ready. There's no consensus about anything among any that even say they're willing and ready. They can't agree together. There ain't two that can agree together to stand together. Because there's too much difference of opinion and too many dislikes and likes and dislikes and all of that. There can't be any organization because there's too much division and too much mistrust of people. There can't be any organization because there's too many different opinions on too many different things, and we can't find anyone that we can trust to stand with us if we would step out and take a stand. So it can't organize because it's not there. Because there's no foundation. We've thrown God out. We've thrown the Word of God out. Throwed out doctrine. And so now we're just down to every man does what's right in his own eyes. And we ain't going to get along. We're not going to cooperate with one another. And the judgment's going to come. So our only hope here. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to. This is all to the advantage of the enemy who's been preparing for this for a long time while men slept. Yes, sir. They've been doing it all these years. All right. Our only hope for the future is God. Now, that's what it comes down to. And you say, well, that's a wide statement. That ain't much. As a nation, our only hope for the future is God. But we as a nation are not about to turn back to God. So there's no hope for the future of our nation. No hope. Because no God. God's kicked out. God's banned. God's forgotten. God is hated in this nation. So, forget that hope. And that's the only hope there is, so there is no hope. It's gone. The ship is sinking. Y'all hear me? You better wake up and realize. And quit holding out hope that somehow at the last minute some hero is going to appear on the scene to save this mess. No. The people of this country are nowhere near giving up on politicians to save us. Therefore, they're not about to look to God to save us. It's not to the point where they're looking to heaven and crying out to God. No. COVID could have killed half of us and they still wouldn't have cried out to God. Yellowstone could blow up and bury 2/3 of the country in ashes and they still wouldn't cry out to God. That's the state we're in. That's the situation we're in. All right? As a church, our only hope is that God protect us and guide us. But that hope is vain when the members of an individual church will not truly live for God, but are worldly and loose with their morality and bitter and selfish and ignorant of the Word of God. Then there's no hope for an individual church. There ain't no hope for the church if that's what you got in the church. So forget that. God is our hope. Those are the verses we're memorizing all this year about God being our hope. But God's not our hope if we won't obey Him, if we won't know Him, if we won't live for Him. As a family, our only hope for the future is God. I sometimes wonder how many families are truly prepared to face the persecution and separation like Hitler and the Nazis perpetrated on the people of Europe 75, 80 years ago. I just wonder how many Christian families are prepared to go through what they went through. Look around. Consider. What do you think? Never even read the Word of God. Just watch TV all the time. When you're not there, when you're at home, when you're not at home, you're somewhere on a, you know, at some worldly event, some worldly thing. Where are you? Yep. Not prepared. When they come and knocking on your door, after they get rid of the police, there'll be something else there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be federal police, like Gestapo. Yep. They'll come knocking on your door in the middle of the night. You read any of them books? Have you educated yourself on what those people went through? Yeah. Come in the middle of the night, take the father out. Don't know where he went. Don't know if I ever see him again.
Usually didn't.
Yeah, and most of the time I didn't. Are you prepared to deal with that? They came to Jerusalem. They destroyed the whole place. They destroyed the whole country. They took children. They picked the best children and took them to Babylon. Way far, hundreds of miles away. And kept them.
Yes.
Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. All them.
Yep.
Most families are living basically like everybody else in the world. You listening to me? I'm almost done, so don't fade out on me here. This is important. Most families in the churches are living just like everybody else in the world. They're believing that everything's going to continue as it is, somehow. I mean, it's just going to go on somehow. We're going to keep going. I mean, you know, just got to. Just oblivious, unprepared, unwilling to prepare to imagine, foresee, study, prepare, none of that. No preparation, no thought of anything except just like it is now. All things going to continue as they were. Most families are living like that, aren't they?
Yep.
Spiritually careless, biblically ignorant, morally negligent. Most families are living just like that. I'm describing most families who sit in church pews.
Right.
Their dreams and their ambitions are about some earthly pleasure or some earthly experience or some earthly possession. They don't think about heaven. They don't think about Jesus coming. They don't try to find the treasures that are in the Word of God and understand the mysteries and have their questions answered. They don't have any questions. They ain't interested in it. They're interested in all this. Go here. See that. Have this. Most Christian families, that's their life. Make money. Got to get money so I can get this. Got to get money so I can go there. Do this. Have that. Those people are not prepared. They're not prepared to fight. They're not prepared to face what's coming. And as an individual, our only hope is God. But an individual will not have peace and security in his soul when he's not preparing his heart and mind and body for the loss of all things. We've been reading Paul in Galatians and Corinthians, and he just counted everything, all of it, loss. Counted it all loss for Christ's sake. Didn't care about nothing. Said, Christ and the truth of God and the souls of men. That used to be preached in the church. When I went to church years ago, 30 years ago, we heard that a lot. Not anymore. Not even in the best churches. So an individual, he's not going to have peace and security if he's not preparing his heart and mind and soul for the loss of all things. If he's simply living like everybody else, indulging carnal appetites, dreaming worldly dreams, being spiritually lazy in his pursuit of God, he'll find himself unprepared for what's coming. So there is only one hope. What is it? God. Knowing God. Being right with God. Having peace with God. Walking with God. Living unto God and not in this world and of the world and all of that. It's mighty important in the times that we're living in. These are perilous times. And they're perilous because of, well, that's another message I've been thinking about. Why is it perilous times? Oh, what is the peril? Well, I mentioned a little bit of it here tonight. And Paul said there, in peril of false brethren. That was one of his perils. You better make time for God in your daily life. Better turn away from the world. Better learn to recognize its voice. It's wooing. It's messing with you. You better learn to recognize it. You better turn away from it. It's time to be right with God. Now I wonder how many are. I really do. Wonder how many here are really. I mean, are you ready? You ready for Him to come? Are you ready for the bad stuff start happening? Here? I was reading there in Proverbs this morning, and the first verse in the chapter 20, was this 18, 17? But it was how that you can be happy in a cottage with a dry morsel. It doesn't take a real Christian. You can be happy in a jail. Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. So he's all right. He didn't have anything, lost everything, suffered the loss of all things, still got God. If you don't have God before you suffer the loss of all things, it's going to be rough for you. Mm-hmm. It ought to be the joy of your life. Yes. It ought to be what satisfies your heart, your mind, and your soul. It ought to be the thing in your life that your life is all about. God. Isn't His promises? Isn't what He's done for you? Isn't His goodness and mercy? If that don't thrill your soul more than TV shows and Disneyland and places to go. You missed it. You just missed it. Time for people to start, you know, it's time for preachers to start preaching. It's time to start believing the truth And you know, others would say, well, you just have no faith. No, that's foolishness to think that God's going to just save us from all of this and spare us from all of this. That's the reality. Look around you. I'm still here riding this earth round and around the sun. And I see what's happening. And I know Jesus is coming, but I don't know when he's coming. I hope he comes. Maybe he will. But I shouldn't sit around and not be prepared. Watch, for you know not the hour. Son of Man coming in such an hour as you think not. Look at the children. They need to be learning. They need to be having their hearts prepared. Be honest. Just be real. Face the truth as it is. I believe real faith in God is trusting him through whatever comes. Not faith in God is not praying real hard that he'll just stop it all and it won't happen. That's real faith. No, that's not faith.
No.
That's just fear and selfishness. And God's in control. God is sovereign. God always does what's right. God always takes care of his people. But you got to be one of his people.
True.
You remember him, he'll remember you. You stand with him, he'll stand with you.
Yeah.
In all of this trouble. So, amen. That's enough. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the truth as we mentioned here tonight. Please help us, Lord, to face the reality of the situation that we're in as it is. Help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts as the Bible instructs us to, by all the examples we have in it of these same situations and the same cycle that mankind goes through. And we can read about it multiple times in your word, and we can take the examples of the righteous people who were alive then. We can hear the words of the prophets as they warned them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand and to see it. And there's no excuse for us to be so careless in our lives as we're being right now. Please help us to put our hope in thee and not in the foolish, ungodly people around us in their mouths a-talking and a-blowing and a-puffing. Lord, help us not to be so foolish. Pray you get us home safe now, working hearts. Pray everybody be closer to you for this and not just full of fear. And Lord, if that's the case, I pray they'd just really come to know you. This ought to encourage the real children of God to draw closer to you. Help us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.